scene that's described in our scripture reading is a very dramatic scene. The Lord Jesus has come to Capernaum and he's gone into this house to try to teach these folks, and he's meeting here with the doctors of the law and the Pharisees and all these folks and from all over the country, and people are coming to be healed. The Lord apparently is healing them. And just as he's teaching them, these four men arrive. They have a friend. He's a paralytic. He's on a bed. He can't walk. He can't do anything for himself. But they've heard about Jesus, and they come and bring this man with the hope that he may perhaps be pleased to heal him. When they get there, they find bad news. The house is full. People are standing at every window. Every quarter in the house is filled with bodies. There's no way for them to get this man's bed through this crowd in front of the master. These four men think for a minute, what can we do? They climb up on top of the house. They pull the bed up. And they start taking the tile off the roof. And as they take the tiles off, the sun begins to shine in, which I'm sure caused a stir on the people there. And they lower this man down on his bed in front of the Savior. And the Lord of glory heals this man. Now, the people there were not too happy that they liked this. Luke tells us that this man had the palsy, which is some kind of a neurological condition that causes paralysis. And he had some defect in his body's systems, but Jesus spoke to him. And he healed him to the fullest measure. In fact, when he got through with him, he told the man, get up, take your bed, you rode in here on, walk out and go home. And he did. I want to bring you a message tonight, if the Lord help me, that I have titled Healing of a Paralytic Beggar. There are two or three things I want us to see from this. Verse 24 and 25 is our text, and we'll look at that mostly. But there are some aspects of this Capernaum incident to be distinguished. Most of all, that immediately he rose up. Immediately he rose up. I tell you, the kindness of these four friends who bring this man to Jesus is unusual. We don't know how far they came. We don't know how long they had carried him. But it apparently was not from across the street or around the corner. They carried him away. And they were determined to bring him into the presence of the healer. They had more faith than he did. They didn't know if Jesus would heal him or not. But they decided they would bring him, and if the Lord was pleased to heal him, that he would. When they came to the house, they were surprised that they were unable to get in because so many people were there. And so they chose to climb up on top of the house, try to go through the roof. That sounds like a hard job, the way we build houses today. But back in biblical times, they mostly just built the walls and they had a framework. And they would put ceramic tiles. They would just lay it on a small frame over the roof. And so they took the ceramic tiles off and to open the roof up. And their determination is an evidence of their faith in Christ. Every once in a while, something happens that just amazes me that people have that kind of commitment. And... You know, not always an easy job pastoring a small church. And sometimes I get discouraged, and sometimes I get frustrated. And then God will always do something. And it may be some tiny little thing, or it may be some great thing. But it's significant to me that the Lord did it. And they see the problem if they can just get him in front of the Lord. They carried a helpless man. But inside of the house was a sovereign healer. They had confidence that Jesus would fully heal their friend. I think as Christians, we sometimes forget that. The Lord of glory does not heal everyone who's sick. He came into places that were filled with sick people, and he might heal one, or he might heal two. It wasn't that he couldn't heal them all. He just is not pleased to. But these four men came in hoping that this would be a man that he might heal. And their necessity caused them to pick this inventive method to get him down in front of the Lord. You know, faith laughs at mortal impossibilities. Sometimes we read the Bible about people laughing. And most of the time, it's because God's done some victory. We have folks like Sarah that laughed because God said he was going to do something. They didn't think he could do it, but he does. David sometimes laughed at his enemies. At other times, he cowered before them. But faith laughs at mortal impossibilities, things we don't think are possible. They found some rope, they moved some tiles, and they lowered this man down in front of Jesus. Now, I also think we ought to think about the look of amazement on the crowd of witnesses. This house is full. I want you to imagine you come in here someday, and there's every seat's full. We got folded chairs out, people are sitting in them. The floors, people are sitting in the floors. We got the windows open. People are standing outside. They're standing in the doorways. They're standing against the walls all the way around the building. And you say, man, this is a great thing. Except there's somebody outside who's got somebody who really needs to hear the gospel and they can't get through and they just go up and bust a hole in the roof. Be a little different, wouldn't it? But they... crowd of people looks. Jesus was teaching to them. He was teaching them boldly by his speech. But as this man was lowered down in front of them, he teaches them further by his bold action. He says to this man, "Your sins are forgiven." Most of the time, he heals them and then forgives their sins. Here he forgave this man's sins first. The teaching of Jesus was interrupted by their bold action. And the people were amazed at the excitement of this scene. Here was this man. What in the world is going on? Who is this guy? Where did he come from? Every once in a while in church, you have things happen you don't expect. It's probably been 20 years ago or better, 25 years ago. We were having services one day, and a lady came in. Nobody knew who she was. She came in and sat down in the front seat. And everything was okay for a few minutes, and then she got up, and she decided she was going to preach. And she started just chattering away and chattering away and chattering away. And I said, "Lady, you're going to have to stop. If not, I'm going to either get somebody to take you out of here, or I'm going to take you out of here, but you're going to have to stop." And everybody had the strangest look on their face, like we've never seen this before, and we hadn't. The scribes and the Pharisees were suspicious, but they were watchful. We'll see what he'd do. But the Lord of glory is not offended by this man coming through the ceiling. And even more importantly, it's more important we understand, he not only wasn't offended, he wasn't surprised. God's never surprised. No matter what we do, it may surprise us, but it never surprises him. And the Lord was quick to respond to their actions. They're in a stir. He first rewarded the faith of the four friends. It tells us there he saw their faith. He saw their faith. And then he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. The Lord found a faith in these trusting friends that he didn't see in this whole crowd. The Lord Jesus honored their faith more than he did the man's faith. He responded to their initiative and their perseverance. When the Lord saved me, I'd been an atheist for a number of years, and I had all kinds of religious folks who was trying to straighten me out. They were always giving me good advice and telling me to do this, that, or the other. What they didn't seem to understand was that I didn't want to. I didn't care. I didn't believe in their God. I didn't know anything about their Jesus. And I just didn't want to hear it. I had too much to do. Until I met the Lord. And after I did, I remembered a few people who had been so kind and so gracious in their witness. When Jesus sees this man in front of him, a double miracle takes place. A miracle of grace and a miracle of power. It took grace, but it also took power. Forgiveness, as I said, came before the healing. When he saw that their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. I'm surprised, and the audience was surprised at his words. Your sins are forgiven. Nobody said a word about this man's sins. Somebody just let him down through the ceiling. They didn't even know why he was here. They could see that he was crippled, that he couldn't do anything. But instead of healing him, the Lord of glory says, your sins are forgiven you. The Lord encouraged him by declaring his forgiveness. We forget sometimes that sin is the cause of all the problems in our world. From a common cold to leukemia or ALS or whatever it is, it's God's work. Our Lord's kindness was unexpected by this audience. They thought he'd be angry. He's the featured speaker at this gathering. Surely he'll be disturbed. But not our Lord. You also see here the relationship of the forgiveness of sins with this man's palsy. The Lord put the spiritual and temporal into a proper relationship. Your sins are forgiven you. I tell you, it's better to have your sins forgiven and to remain completely paralyzed than to be healthy and hopping and be full of sin. Sin was implied to be the cause of this man's paralyzed condition. Sin's the cause of all disease. It's not because you did this, that, or the other. It's simply because of the influence of sin in this world that was instituted by Adam and Eve has affected the whole creation and the zones around us, and it has permeated an environment of illness and death. Jesus deals first with the cause, and then he deals with the tragic effect. These people were upset. Who can forgive sins? Jesus said, what reason's in your heart? Is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven? Or to say, rise up and walk? Which one's the hardest? This paralytic man lays before Jesus with sin on his mind. The Lord has said to him, your sins are forgiven. He doesn't know what else is going on, but he does know this. The sin of which he is obviously conscious has been taken away. You must never forget that perfect health is useless without spiritual healing. I've worked with people, dealt with people, known people all my life who have just wonderful health. I have friends that are in their 70s, 80s, 90s, just healthy as they can be. I wish I could say they're all healthy spiritually. We live in a world full of sinful people. And they all want to be healed. That's why preachers get phone calls every day from somebody. Put us on your prayer list. Remember to pray for us. God would heal us. But perfect health is useless unless you have spiritual health. Then Christ exercised his divine prerogative and he forgave this man. Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Psalm 102 verse 3 says, for my days are consumed like smoke and my bones are burned as a hearth. In forgiveness, Jesus radically healed this man as well. He's clean of all his sin. He recommended the healed man to get up and walk. I want you to think about that. This man's been on this little bed they've been carrying around. We don't know how long. Maybe all his life. Maybe for many years. He never walked. Nobody in this crowd's ever seen him walk. His friends have never seen him walk. But the Lord of glory says, get up and walk. Get up and walk. His enemies quickly responded to the Lord's merciful kindness. Look at verse 21. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Here's a good example of a human being coming to the wrong conclusion with a right answer. God is the only one who can forgive sins. But they begin to a wrong conclusion. And Jesus perceived their thoughts. He answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? The Pharisees knew the power of God. Or they thought they did. But they didn't know the person of Christ. And to know him is to know him in power. I've thought about this many times. People have called me and asked me to pray for them, to pray for someone in their family or someone related to them, and I have assured them that God is fully capable of healing them. But I've also told them I don't know if God will. And they think it's something to do with me, that I can turn God on or off. I said, listen, God's sovereign. God can heal your friend, but God may not heal your friend. God sometimes gives us sickness for a reason. In that case, we have the sickness. he declared his deity to them in forgiving sins. Look at verse 24. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go into thy house. Here's the evidence of the Lord's knowledge, his ultimate knowledge. What reason ye in your hearts, he said. Well, he knew. He had this divine capacity that perceived all of their unspoken thoughts. Would you like to be able to read minds? I wouldn't either. Most people think they'd like to be able to read minds. Not me. I'd be so embarrassed by what people thought about me that it would just be revolting. I wouldn't be able to. I'd stay in the house and put a hat over my head. But our Lord had omniscience, and he gave evidence of it. His capacity perceived their unspoken thoughts. John 6:61 says, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? The Lord's justice exposed the malice of these men in their sinful thoughts. Anything you think that is contrary to God's will is a sinful thought. We are to be in harmony with God's will. Do we do it? Absolutely not. Do we desire to? If you're a believer, absolutely. The Lord's justice exposed the malice in their thoughts. These were harsh men. They were evil-spirited, mean men. They weren't concerned about this. I mean, you should be joyous. Here's a man that's not walked for years or maybe in his life, and all of a sudden he's walking, carrying his bed on which he's been carried to this house. But they don't care about that. They're mad because the Lord of glory has healed this man. But the Lord didn't fear them. He didn't fear their looks. He didn't fear their thoughts. He didn't fear their feelings. His divine authority and his power overcame their objections and produced a new life, spiritual and physical, for the paralytic. This man who'd been crippled. This man who'd been carried in on a bed and let down through the roof. This man who'd been without health for many, many years is now healthy as a teenager. But more than that, he has a new soul, a new heart, a new nature. Because his sins are forgiven. Jesus gives voice to the inner thoughts of these scribes in verse 22 and 23. His pardon was sealed by divine power. These religionists spoke of cleansing, but not of healing. But Jesus surrounded a new heart, which he'd given this man, with a healthy body. Amazing. Two great miracles. And the pardoned man took up his bed and walked. He took up his bed and walked. What an experience for this healed man. He had two great miracles done to him. The disease that Jesus healed is one in which human skill is unavailing. This disease that he had, nobody knows exactly what it was, this palsy, but it's I used to hear people talk about old people with the palsy, and they've been crippled up all their life. Nobody knew what was wrong, and nobody could do anything about it. But whatever men did not know about it, God knew. And he healed this man by simply speaking a word. I was at my aunt's funeral the other day, and my cousin, Morris Jr., has a wife who has ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease, and she's pitiful. She's gotten to the place now where she can still speak, but it's hard to understand her, and sometimes she can't. She can't walk anymore. She's in a wheelchair, and I hugged her and tried to talk to her a little bit. But I thought to myself, I commend him for taking care of her. But she has a disease that no man knows how to cure. No one has a solution for it. No one has an answer for it. And I thought about her when I got home, and I thought, you know, Lord, you can heal her. I don't know if you want to. I don't know if it pleases you to. I don't know if it's in your will to, but you can. And I'll just rejoice in that. Just rejoice in that. This man who had lain on this bed now gets up, picks up the bed, walks out of the place. The crowd cleared away for this healed man with a healed heart. Look at verse 25. Immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Quite a testimony. The result of this man's cure was remarkable and instantaneous. The people were overwhelmed. Look at verse 26. They were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." And I'll tell you, it certainly was a strange thing to see a man let down through the roof on a pallet and see him get up and walk out of the place carrying the pallet. They recognized a unique and strange event. Strange things. God can do, will do, does do strange things. But their amazement irritated the Pharisees even more. They just were upset. They were angry. And they couldn't be satisfied. Now, there's some lessons that we ought to learn from this experience. Let me give you three or four of them. First of all, palsy is a fit emblem of sin that corrupts our heart. Nobody knows what to do about it. Nobody has a solution. Nobody has a cure. Nobody has a treatment. In fact, the people who have it wonder, how did this happen to me? The sinner has an impossible task to deal with their guilt, not his, theirs. The sinner can do nothing to mediate their debt to the law. The older I get, the more amused I am at people who are in love with the law. The law bids you run and fly, but it doesn't give you any legs or wings. But grace gives you both. The cross provided a merciful provision for this fallen man. Man, thy sins are forgiven. Wow. I tell you, our palsied race finds complete healing only in Christ. He's the only way. Romans 5, 6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." This miracle shows Jesus as being able to heal immediately. The Lord of glory doesn't need all day to do what he can do in an instant. Sometimes he takes all day. Sometimes he may take months or years, but there is no disease that he cannot heal instantly. He can cancel the bondage of sin and make one whole in an instant. Your sins are forgiven you. That simple. He can raise the sinner from moral weakness to eternal life. And when he delivers us from guilt, he frees us from its bondage. You see, there's bondage in guilt. But there's freedom in him. The third lesson I see here is that when we learn that no mortal can be saved by another's faith, it should turn us to Christ. Others may be used to bring souls to Jesus the healer, but they can't do anything but bring them to him. He's the only one who can heal. But he who heals also delivers from the calamity of a carnal heart. I tell you tonight, you may have friends who are palsied by sin. I do have. I have friends, I have relatives, I have neighbors. They're hopeless. Absolutely hopeless. And helpless in their present state. They stay like they are, they're going to perish. Nobody can do anything for them. You can't. I can't. Faith healers can't. But like this paralytic man, they can be brought to Jesus. And the Lord of glory may be pleased to heal him. A consecrated life, a compassionate love, a prevailing intercession, and undaunted faith may be sought in God as he healed them. There's as much hope for them as there was for this man. What a marvelous and instructive event we find in the healing of this poor man. The Lord of glory applies whatever power is necessary to heal the body and the soul. He said, well, it must be harder to heal cancer than a common cold. By human measurements it is, but for him it's not. Jesus revealed the inner thoughts of the scribes and the Pharisees, and he will also reveal your true feelings and your thoughts in due time. Learn well the lessons that God gives us in his word and in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said to this man, that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thy house. And he did just that. Amen.